Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 15th of November of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live back from Midland, Michigan. And it's great to be with you, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you're accessing the program. I'm glad that you're with us, whatever the device is that you're using, even if you're using a desktop. Honestly, I think only dinosaurs still use desktops. Okay, maybe some people still use it, but certainly not as many as like in the early 2000s, the 2000s in general, really, because nowadays so much of everything has went to laptop, tablet, and smartphone. Although I will say, flip phones have made quite the comeback. Are they still doing that, or is it on and off, those flip phones coming back? Kind of more on and off?
Yeah, they have, like, a basic one for, like, elderly, but then they did come out with a new touchscreen flip phone type deal.
How's that going? Are those kind of falling back out of favor?
I think they're falling back out of favor.
So you feel like it was another fad that lasted for about, 10 minutes?
Yeah, a year or so.
Yep. Yeah, about... Yeah, the BlackBerry was only huge for like 3 years or so, where the iPhone has just always developed such a huge following. And a lot of it's been, a lot of people have went back and forth, Droid, the iPhone. So I feel like a lot of them who are Droid people have stayed Droid people, and a lot of iPhone people have stayed iPhone people. So a lot of them it's kind of developed a rivalry like Coke, Pepsi, like that kind of thing.
Definitely.
And so many of who have been part of one, it's like they won't change no matter what. It's like they just charge. I mean, they just decide basically, I'm not changing my phone. I don't want to. I want, like I might upgrade to the newest model of what I have. But other than that, I'm going to keep my phone because I love my phone. And, that's kind of how I am with iPhone. I think iPhone is superior, personally. Even though sometimes Siri can be a little pain once in a while, like today. We were at a hotel until we had left the restaurant, Waffle House, where I went to get some breakfast this morning. And I'm asking Siri to take us to a store so we could return a couple things that my mom had bought. And instead, Siri tries to take us back to our hotel. And we get almost back to our hotel, and I'm like, no, Burlington. And then, finally. So that wasted, 10 minutes. And then it was trying to lead us on a different road to get to Burlington. And I'm like, what? But, obviously, still love Siri. But sometimes, don't you despise it when your navigation tries to do something to you like that?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever felt like your navigation system was trying to take you astray?
Yeah, my navigation system has tried to take me down roads that weren't even there before.
What? Like to go where?
I don't remember where I was going, but I remember we were in the middle of nowhere, and it said turn right, and there was no road.
And it didn't even say GPS signal lost.
Nope.
It should have. Because when it says GPS signal lost, that should be like preventing that from happening.
Right.
It'd be like, trying to authentication purposes. authentication in this case would mean like making sure that that actually is a Rogue. But where there's not good signal, obviously it can't authenticate as well.
Right.
I don't mean authenticate like being able to ID a person, but even like what roads are what based on what you're, where you are, you know, and they have certain roads in the database. I think it had to do with it thought you were somewhere else. Is that what you're thinking it was?
I'm thinking so also, yeah.
Because it couldn't put names down of roads that aren't there.
Right.
So you're thinking somehow the authentication wasn't up to date necessarily, okay, or based on where you... I'm thinking it was based on where you were, because when you're out in the boonies sometimes, you know. But anyhow, we had a nice time down there, and I love it down there. And guess what? Next year, on April 8th, we'll be down there in Northwest Ohio, Toledo included. We'll be in the path of totality for the solar eclipse. This will be the closest to Michigan will be to a total solar eclipse for a very, very, very long time. If I go to really watch it, I'd go to like Toledo or something. Toledo is in the path. We are not. I might watch it here. Who knows? Who knows enough? But anyhow, I think it's pretty cool that's coming up. But, you know, for those of you who live in Michigan, maybe you're up north hunting deer, hopefully you can hear me. Don't be shooting your deer, you don't be shooting that rifle in the dark. It's not like part of the law that if we're hunting deer, we are not supposed to be, we're not to be hunting at dark.
That is a law, yes.
And why is that, as a matter of fact?
It's not safe. You can't see what you're shooting in the dark. You can't get a clear shot. So you could,
and you're not
going to
see your deer.
Right.
And so if I'm still wondering, yes, it is now time to put that thing away for the night. Try again tomorrow, maybe, if you're still up at deer camp hunting for deer. And I got a word for you if you're up there hunting. Pay your tithe. I mean, I want to see some of that venison. Okay, just kidding. My pastor said that from the pulpit once. He said, I got a word for you hunters. He said, pay your tithe. What he meant was like, give me some of that meat. Do you feel like that's probably what he meant by that?
Oh, yeah.
By pay your tithe? Yeah. He didn't mean finances that time.
Nope.
He meant meat, you know?
Everyone loves venison.
Yes. So good about now. I mean, you think about it. Jacob and Esau had went hunting back in the Bible. But nonetheless, when you see that it's start of deer season, it also makes you wonder, you know, especially this November. This November, man, has flown. Seems like just last week it was harvest day, October 31st. Seems like just a week ago, week and a half ago. Not a full 2 weeks.
Crazy.
Usually, November doesn't go by as fast as it is this year. Have you noticed that?
I agree.
I mean, hopefully December won't be going by like that, like this, because that's my favorite month that's not in the summer. It is. That's not in Christmas. So, it better go by slower. Once you get to the other side of Thanksgiving, it better slow down a bit. I wish it could go by the way January does.
Oh.
But only in my mind, December is a lot better. Other than the first week of January, December is a lot better than January, I think. What? You don't want December to go by as slow as January does?
No, I think that's a good idea because I never thought about that. January goes by so slow.
I wish December specifically from the 1st to the 25th could go by like that.
Yeah. Me too. Simply because there's never enough time to get your Christmas shopping done.
Not only that, there's not enough time to look at life.
That's very true.
Because I like to, like, be able to even drive around and look at lights and all that, go to all the Christmas shopping things I want to go to, you know, see how many malls you can get to between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, hopefully they're good ones, of course, and all that kind of stuff. Some people might say, how many shopping websites? Not me. I bet you some people do try to see how many of them they can get to, though, right?
Probably.
And they might be like, oh, yeah, I'll buy stuff from, like, 12 different websites. Amazon only being one of them. They might try Amazon, eBay, Walmart, Wish. Now, the other, is Wish still a thing, or is that kind of faded?
That has kind of faded, and now it's the Shein app and Temu.
Whatever happened to Wish?
I'm not sure.
Because I know lots of people were using Wish. I mean, me, neither. I prefer in store myself, but to each their own. And when you think about it, when all the stores go away, it can kind of have an effect, especially if all the stores in one area close, can kind of lead to blight, which is a cool thing. So it's something to think about. But anyhow, I do want to let you know that it'll be a lot more Christmas music after Thanksgiving on this program, because I believe that after Thanksgiving, it's time to do more of the Christmas music and not as much of the regular between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'll only do Christmas music before Thanksgiving if I feel like people ask. But I'll listen to it beforehand, yes. And like even on my radio, oh yeah. I will say, I wish that our GPSs could talk just a little bit under us listening to Christmas music on the radio. I really wanted to listen to that Christmas music station in Toledo. Didn't get a chance because like a certain other thing was plugged in.
Oh no.
Because sometimes it's cool listening to different Christmas music stations. And I'd love to program it. I wish I could program it in my settings so that it would always show that I was in Ohio. Oh, I wish. Do you think there's a way to manipulate your settings so that it always shows that you're in Ohio? I wish there was.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe.
No, I won't do this with Facebook and that, because then otherwise people can see it. If nobody could see the profile, I'd probably change mine to an Ohio profile. I would. You can kind of tell I would, can't you?
Yeah.
And you can't list it as anonymous, so like it blacks out your name and it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it wouldn't even say the city either. It would just say Ohio. You know what I mean? It would just say Ohio. It wouldn't even say the city name. But it has like the big Buckeye thing on it.
Yeah.
That way I would only get the commercials that are actually on that station rather than get, you know, the big national commercials or whatever. But who knows? It's got to be out there somewhere. I'm going to find it after this episode is done. That certain station, 101.5, The River, Toledo, Ohio. And I got to say, I left the state basically just about at 1 o'clock p.m. I got to say, I already miss it. You do? Yeah, I do miss it. there's things to be said about it. It's like, just love it. I mean, I love Detroit in that too, but in certain ways, I almost like Toledo, Ohio more. Specifically, you say it's part of a culinary? Yeah. I think so, yes. And then also, like, trying to see, like, you know, do people have different, you know, stories about Cedar Point? Do they have, you know, what do they think about that whole thing of the Michigan-Ohio State thing? And for those of you who might say, well, usually during college football season, you'll refer to them as that team to the south. Well, usually I would, but for this second, it's kind of went out the window. I'll get back to that. But, okay, in all seriousness, I do want to remind you of a couple of quick things. Number one, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how great God has been, and how God's always been there. He's always been there. I haven't had to wonder. I haven't found myself wondering if God was real or not. I mean, a lot of people do, but I have. You can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. Again, that website is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of Miracles. .com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing to your life. I'm believing God that as you read the book, it'll increase your faith. That's what I'm believing God for. The other thing that I would like to remind you about really quick is the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program and show that you appreciate it and what it means to you. You can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would, that the first R in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. Please make a note of that, if you would, kindly. The other thing that I would like to remind you of, also, I do have a verse for you. Therefore, and it is John 3:16. Therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And I just stand on that. I'm going to sing a couple of songs and get into the word of the Lord. And then we'll have a quick sports update with my predictions for the weekend in football. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation. now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh, my sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. Silence the bones of sin and grace. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. Now and forever, God, you reign. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things,
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are, Lord. Thank you for what a beautiful name your name is. How powerful it is, how wonderful it is. Thank you for what you do for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord God, that these storms that are coming up against these people will stop right here, right now. You know what these people have need of, and I know that you have great plans for each and every one of these people. Thank you that you are a God that restores us, that you restore us and you make us who you want us to be. And I thank you, Master, for that and for what you're doing in each and every one of us. And I thank you, Master, for that and for what you're doing right here, right now, in the matchless name of Jesus and for what it is that you're doing, for what it is that you're going to do. Thank you, Master, for that and for your hand being upon them. In your name, Jesus. In your name. Thank you for this time in your word tonight, that as we study your word, you reveal yourself to these people tonight. And I thank you for that, that you are doing that for these people. In your name, Jesus. And now, Master, I make my confession over this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program, that sponsors come to this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I want you listeners to turn with me in your Bibles, go into Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. I want to encourage those of you at home, I want to encourage you, don't just be someone who spectates, you know, when I say, you know, open the Word of God. No, I pray, you pray, by saying, you sing, if you know what the lyrics, as I, you know, as we study the Word, you know, you be a part, you know, at least pay attention. Don't just sit there and go to sleep. I actually have a story about the going to sleep thing. So, one time, senior year in high school, you know, so in second period, second class hour that year, I was in a science class. So my science teacher, I had fallen asleep in her class once month before. Like a month or two before or so, and maybe 3 months, but a few months before. And so this time she's like, reverse, he does off in my class. And then I suddenly like undozed, you know, because I was able to hear it. I'm like, yeah, Miss Malkara? She's like, hey, if you doze off again in my class, you fall asleep again in my class, I'm going to sing. You won't want to hear me sing. And guess what else? I'm going to have you stand the rest of the class period. So don't do that on my program. I can't tell whether you guys are sleeping or not. I'll try to guess. And if y'all were with me, I'd be almost tempted to say, you know what? You're just going to stand the rest of the time. Like what my teacher threatened me with. And then I might try to sing something in a bad singing voice, which I'd find a way, but I'd have to think about it. But for me, it would be kind of hard to. Nonetheless, Trevi told, don't go to sleep on me while I do my broadcast and while I try to read you the Word of God. Don't fall asleep on me like what I did in science class. You know, I can tease about it now, but I remember when I started at college and my parapro from high school kind of teased and said, okay, now don't fall asleep in class now, okay? And so, no, I didn't. But yeah, okay. Sometimes you just got to find a way to laugh. Okay, chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, and I read, and it says here, my son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge of another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, your sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers in the page and gathers its food at harvest.
How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and go sit in the hot tub. Okay, it didn't say that I threw that in there. When you get up from your sleep, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man, a scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers. Uh-oh. Guess what? Don't want to be... No, I'm not to stop you, but I mean, listen. God knows if you're making certain signals with your fingers, he knows. Doesn't mean you say, oh, you're gonna judge my hand motion? No, I'm believing God to see with my eyes, but you know, I will say this, only for the moment. I'm glad I don't have to see some people's fingers and what the signs are, including the international. But you know, you do that. Even if no one else saw you do it, God saw you do it. Okay, I'll get off of that being I'm not sure it went over so well. But, yeah, that went over real well. Okay, verse 14. Those who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him. What does that mean? When it says are detestable to him, that means he does not like them. He does not like it. Them like at all. That means, in another word, we could say that they kick him off. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. That means like you're looking after them, you know, with your eyes, and it's like you're lusting after them. You give like that, you know, that certain look. But you shouldn't be giving them. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. In other words, one way we could say that, we have another word for that, murder. A heart that devises wicked schemes. In other words, you know, it's scheming, feet that are quick to rush into evil or mischief, you know, same thing, feet that are quick to rush into mischief, a false witness who pours out lies, oh, there's your mouth again, there's the lying thing again, Oh man, God must really dislike lying. That's two out of the seven that involve telling lies. Not just one, two. And a man, number seven, a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And by the way, that also includes, females.
or anyone, in other words, anyone who stirs up that against other people. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Also, when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. Fasten them around your neck. Walk. When you sleep, when you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman or man, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife or husband. Do not lust in your heart after her or him, or her beauty or his handsomeness, or let them captivate you with their eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? No. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? No. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starved. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does that destroys it, blows in disgrace of luck, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury. He will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. So you see, God tells us in this chapter, what to stay away from, some stuff to stay away from. And it's because he loves us. Oh, some people might say, oh, that's the spirit of control. You mean I can't, First of all, I didn't write the word of God. I didn't write it. The scripture was inspired by God. I myself didn't write it. I'm not old enough to have written it. But there's six things the Lord hates, that have to do with hands, feet, mouth, eyes, brain. You say, what do you mean they have to do with hands, feet, eyes, mouth, brain?
two of them are about lying. One is about lying through your tongue, a lying tongue. You're lying with your mouth. The other one, false witness that pours out lies. That one didn't exactly say, that it could necessarily be from your mouth. That could be, what are you posting on Facebook? What are you putting, what's the video that you're uploading? On YouTube. Some people call it YouTube now. The Facebook. What are you tweeting, or now they'll say posting on Twitter, now known as X. I like to call it Twitter bopper myself. you say Miracle Man. Do you use those? Yeah. But I don't use them to put people down. And a lot of times I'll just be looking on there, certain videos, stuff I like to watch. And even some, full games on YouTube from like some old sports of the 90s. And honestly, some people who have social sites, social accounts, shouldn't have them because they don't have the maturity level to handle it. There's Christians that shouldn't have it. Now, if you want to spread the light of Christ on there and that's good. Or, you're just, a little comment about something, about a shirt, shoes, or whatever they saw, or whatever. But don't be using it to put down other people. Don't be using it to gossip against other people. Don't be use it to slander. Don't use it to tell lies. Don't use it to try to stir up, dissension. Or awe against other people. Oh, did you see what that person just did? and then you're just finding yourself getting into problems with that. Or stirring up schemes in your heart. I'm going to get them. Like if you're just stirring up schemes. Like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to show them. And you're just going to, God does not like that at all. He hates it. Feet that run to mischief, meaning like, when church is over, here's what this means. You should not be doing, Christian. When church is over, you shouldn't be racing over to the bar to have a beer. You say, Miracle Man, why shouldn't I? Who owns your witness when you go to the house of God, say amen, pay your tithe, smile and grin amongst the believers, and your pastor sees you and all that, and then you go to the bar. And your car is possibly seen there by the believers or others. And obviously it doesn't look good. And so I'm not saying, it's not. Good for your witness when you do that. Instead, you go home or you go to the restaurant or whatever it is that you're going to do.
Or like, or another way they could run into mischief, you know, to be unforgiving, like choosing on purpose to not forgive people and instead to like hurt them or try to get even with them. God doesn't like that. He hates it. So I would say for us, oh Jesus, help us to hate what you hate and to love what you love. You know, if you want to be godly, you should love what God loves and hate what God hates. When I think of what does it mean to be godly, godly, in other words, not G-O-D-L-E-E, but godly. That meaning, you know, that means you hate what God hates. And you live according to, you know, how, what he says, what his word says. Yeah, but I'm afraid of the persecution I might get. Oh, people in this country don't face persecution quite the way they do in other countries. In a way, you know, in some other countries, you know, you're seen praying, you get persecuted like none other. I mean, just this morning, we were in the restaurant praying over the meal. She was asking us, you know, she was about to ask us something. We get done praying and she says, oh, I'm sorry about that. Would you let, you know, that shows that she pays attention, is paying attention, that she cared enough to at least admit, you know, and to say, I'm sorry, you know, rather than to, you know, because persecutors, you know, Saul, he was a professional persecutor before he became Paul and preached to all those people. In the book of Acts. He was a professional persecutor. He applauded the stoning of Stephen. He applauded it. He was happy about it. He was probably one of those people possibly giving a standing ovation when that happened. He was possibly doing that. I think there's a chance that that's what he was doing. I mean, he was certainly applauding it. And then he goes from that to getting saved. That kind of a turnaround, an incredible turnaround, gave his life to Jesus, started preaching, you know, after that light hit him. Completely transformed by the miracle working power of God. Went from going after preachers to going after sin. And, but, well, but you know, we should not love things that God does not love. What you say, you know, God doesn't love it if we lie, if we steal, if we cheat, you know, God does not love that. When Christians do that. But he loves us. And I pray that we would love him. Because I know he loves us with unending love. And it's not this sloppy, agape type stuff that some people might try to claim, you know, who cares? Not,
Nuh-uh. God cares. Yep. He cares about us. He loves us. And in the Word of God, in Proverbs chapter 6, near the end, it even says, "And my son, you know, let me guide you. Let my word guide you. Let my discipline guide you. Oh, when you sleep, this happens. When you go, when you walk, when you go for a walk, this happens. When you wake up, this happens. And you know, and then God just, you know, lays that out there for us. And I love that. As Proverbs was made, was written for it to be a guide for us. Proverbs, in other words. And you know, they're not to be taken lightly, I mean. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to think Proverbs, for a little minute there, I didn't think Proverbs was quite my favorite thing. Yeah, for a second. But I thank God that God changed that. I thank God for that. Because now I realize. Even when I was younger than that, I would think, oh, that's cool. But then, I thank God that God forgave me of all that. And now, Proverbs is great. And it's important. And God, because God disciplines those who he loves. And that's why this book of Proverbs was written for the people of God. Because God loves us. He cares about us. He really does. He didn't just say, you know, whoever wrote it didn't just say, I'm going to write a little book. I'm going to write a book for right now. It'll be called Proverbs. And, I'll just think of what stuff I can put in there. No, that's not how it came about. It's not how it came about. But God helped him write it. Because all scripture in the Word of God, all scripture in the Bible comes from God, is inspired by God. All of it. Not most of it. Not a lot of it, all of it. And I just know that that's true. It's not an I guess. I know it's true. It's as true as me speaking to you right now. And I'm not worried about it. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our hearts tonight, and that we would learn to hate what you hate, but ultimately to love what it is that you love, Jesus. And I thank you for that. In your matchless name. Amen and amen. Now, in terms of sports, Michigan State Spartans last night in basketball fell to Duke 74-65 last night. And so, now for football, the Michigan State Spartans
will be wrapping up their football season in the next 2 weekends. First they play maybe like Wisconsin or something. But their last game will be against Penn State. Michigan will play Maryland on the road on Saturday in Maryland. My honest prediction for that, winning again, 38. Maryland, 18. And then the next game for Michigan after Saturday will be the game between Michigan and that team to the south from Columbus. Okay, I actually like that team too. I just did that for theatrics. That's why I said, because there's always that clip that comes from somewhere. One of these days, I want to get me a soundboard that has all these buttons for certain situations, like when I do sports. And I'll have these different buttons on it, and when I push it, it'll play that sound. Boo! That'd be neat, wouldn't it? Like, you just push it, and then it does it.
That'd be amazing.
Yes, like for a different situation, and it has like, oh, he just got 1 out of 20 shots from the field, and then you hit that little clap thing. Like that, and it's like, yay! But like, 1 out of 20 is really not that good. But like, you know, for sarcasm or whatever, you know, I just think it'd be cool to have. But nonetheless, this week Michigan plays Maryland, and I do think they're going to win. Michigan State, honestly, I think they are going to lose this game. Honestly, it's been a rough year for Michigan State. Hopefully next year can be a whole lot better for the Spartans for football. I really hope so. All right. Lions taking on Minnesota from Ford Field on Sunday. My prediction, Roaring Lion, 28. Land of 10,000 lakes, 24. Minnesota has won 5 out of 6, trying to work its way back up to be in top the AFC North, but them going to Detroit, I think will cause them to stumble a little bit. So I expect the Lions will win this one. And then next weekend will be the Thanksgiving game for the Lions, which is always an amazing thing. I always enjoy watching the Thanksgiving Day game. I really do. While America will sit there and eat turkey while they watch great football. And this year, it actually should be a good one, I think. People used to mock the Lions playing on Thanksgiving. Did you ever hear stories about how these radio talk show hosts and stuff would mock the Lions playing on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
And they would make jokes about, like, stuff happening to turkey while they were eating the game. You do remember hearing some of that stuff?
Yeah.
Luckily, not the case anymore. Yay! Because now they actually win on Thanksgiving. Hopefully this time they will too. And not, for a while they would win, but then last year they lost, but it was close at least. The one before they had lost too, but again it was close. But hopefully this will be a good one that they will actually win for a change. But we have to wait and see. You got to play the game. All right, folks. I confess some to anyone over us in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I thank you that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, fire, flood, or crash, and none of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our loved ones. We are going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And until next time, I love you. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
I don't know if you can hit that end episode button.